Good morning. It's 6th of April. Our first reading for today is Numbers 22 and 23. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Tennant once again.
I read.
Balak, king of Moab, was troubled by the progress of Israel, for they were now at his borders. Their renown had gone before them, and the promised fear from God was beginning to gnaw the hearts of these confident kings and their peoples. Balak sought counsel and decided to hire a prophet to curse the camp of Israel, which lay in the plains of Moab. In great haste he summoned Balaam to help him. Balaam was from Mesopotamia, from that part of the world in which the Lord had been pleased to reveal himself to Abraham, and in which some of the people who held a faith in God had dwelt. He was a prophet of the Lord, but clearly had fallen into bad ways, particularly the coveting of rewards for his services. After a show of unwillingness, he came to Balak and looked upon the encampment of Israel. This was, no doubt, a fine sight. The tabernacle stood firmly in the centre, and the host of Israel spread out in every direction as far as the eye could see. By altar and burnt offering, Balak tried to work with Balaam in producing the right atmosphere in which Balaam could speak a word to Balak's favour. This was in vain. Before the princes of Moab and their king, the cursing of Balaam was uttered. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. So this was the curse. Understandably, Balak was angry and distressed. They moved to another place from which Balak hoped it would be possible to curse the people of God. The result was equally dismal for Moab, but startlingly beautiful and significant for Israel. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. Vexed and distraught, the king of Moab brought Balaam to a final place. Here the prophet abandoned every pretense of seeking enchantments on behalf of Israel's enemies. In a prophecy filled with powerful language, and strangely sad so far as the prophet himself was concerned, the words of the Spirit of God were uttered. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the trees of lime aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Here were the words of God, taking up the threads of the promises made to Abraham, and seeing in the great camp of the waiting nation the growth of the seed of that faithful man. There was a magnificence about the straight lines of the pitched tents of Israel. Balak was afraid. Now he smote his hands together in anger and despair. Balaam was helpless. The Spirit of the Lord had seized him as of old, and despite his first intent to come and take the wages of unrighteousness by speaking enchantments against Israel, he was now altogether and solely a prophet on their behalf. Without further waiting, and saying, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind, this strange, unwilling, and unfaithful prophet spoke of the forthcoming victories of Israel, and with an uncanny picturesqueness of speech, sent forth hints of Messiah and Balaam's own remoteness from him. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a sceptre shall rise out of Israel. And so we wait until he come whose right it is. Thank you for listening.